From the college campuses of Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, and the University of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, transcribed, University of Pittsburgh is out to challenge the four-week Quiz Bowl rule of the varsity scholars from Washington and Lee University. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hello there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another undergraduate battle of the brains. Now, let's meet the teams. First, we're going out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Jim Westover of station KDKA Pittsburgh is on hand to serve as referee for the Pitt team. Are you with us, Jim?
I sure am, Alan. And also here are four bright Pitt students who think that Washington and Lee has been in the quiz bowl long enough. Here they are to introduce themselves.
Sam Siegel, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Eleanor Stone, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Morton Coleman, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Albert Hilger, Pittsburgh.
We've met the varsity scholars now from the University of Pittsburgh, so let's move way down south, way down to Lexington, Virginia, where Joe Moffitt of station WSLS Roanoke is back again to act as referee for the Washington and Lee team. Well, how do the current champs look tonight, Joe?
They look just fine, Alan. I think the general opinion down here is that Washington and Lee victory number 5 is only 1/2 hour away. Here's a team to say hello.
Bob Paxton, Lexington, Virginia.
Henry Turner, Bethesda, Maryland.
Fred Lackman, Lexington, Virginia.
Harold Quinn, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, we've met both teams. Now, before Jack Costello explains our quiz bowl rules, may I point out that we recognize full well that in putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts, we're pointing up only one of the objectives of college education. We are likewise, though, trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities that are found on every American campus. Okay, Jack, how about those rules?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points, and the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When the University of Pittsburgh signals, you'll hear... And when Washington and Lee University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth the stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Jack. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. You got it? Okay, those are the rules. And there's our opening whistle, so let's go. Your first toss-up question could get you a chance at a 30-point bonus. Here is the first toss-up question. In 1763 and in 1767, two Englishmen made a survey on the North Atlantic continent to settle constant boundary disputes between the Lords Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
It's Sam Siegel.
Mason and Dixon?
That's right, the Mason-Dixon. Okay. The question must have completed. By what name do we know their survey? Mason-Dixon, that's right. Okay, then, Pittsburgh, you have now a chance at a 30-point bonus with a 10-point earned from that toss-up. Here is your bonus question. Now, Pittsburgh, remember you can work as a team. For 10 points, tell us the modes now, get that, of transportation used by the following. First of all, Icarus.
That's Albert Hilger.
Wings.
Right, wings. He's the mythological character who flew by attaching wings to himself. You know, he fell after he got too close to the sun. Okay, wings. Now, what mode of transportation was used by Charon for 10 points?
A boat.
That was Sam Siegel.
Right, that's right, a boat. He was a ferryman in where was he? You know, Sam?
Down in Hades.
That's right, he was down there on a boat, a ferryman, okay? What mode of transportation was used by Ichabod?
And we have an answer from Morton Coleman.
A horse.
What?
A horse.
Right, he was riding horseback in Washington Irving's Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Okay, that's all. 40 points for University of Pittsburgh. We're going back to a toss-up question, and may I tell you that coming up... Coming up is a 40-point bonus. A 40-point bonus coming up. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. On a Fahrenheit thermometer, What is the boiling point? Pittsburgh.
212 degrees.
Okay, that's right. But
that's Martin Coleman again.
Who is that, Martin Coleman?
Yes.
Well, you're hot, Martin. Here's a 40-point bonus you just won for the University of Pittsburgh. It's a bonus question on one-seeded fruit with woody pericarps, or in other words, nuts. Now, if I asked for a nut that could be associated with a soft drink, you'd probably say, or you might say, cola nut. You get it? Now, for 10 points apiece, you were to tell us what nuts you can associate with the following things. First of all, what nut do you think of when I say the human thorax?
We have a hand from Albert Hilger.
Chestnuts.
Right, chestnut for 10 points. What nut do you think of when I say the nickname for a former U.S. president?
They're thinking.
They don't have.
Oh, we got an answer from Martin Coleman.
Hickory, for old Hickory, Andrew Jackson.
That's right.
Hey.
Hickory nut. Okay, what nut do you think of when I say a legume? A legume.
Peanut.
Right.
That was Sam Siegel.
Okay, Sam, you hit it. Oh, I didn't think you'd get that. What nut do you think of when I say a girl's name? Girl.
Yeah, here's Albert Hilger.
Hazelnut.
Right, for 10 points. Now, before we get along to another toss-up question, we better stop now and find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Jack?
Fine, Alan. Each week, NBC will award to the schools of the winning team, or the school, rather, a $500 gift to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnar wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnar family of fine watches since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Now, those are the stakes. Now, with exactly 20 and a half minutes to go, the score is Pitt 90, Washington and Lee, nothing.
Okay.
I was just going to suggest another question, Alan.
All right, here we go. Now, we've got a toss-up question coming here and a 30-point musical bonus on the way up. So here we go for 10 points. What 18th-century Englishman has given his name to a code of manners, a style of sofa, and a kind of coat?
Chippendale.
That's Sam Siegel.
All right, Sam. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. Can you take it, Washington?
Yes, we can. Henry Turner.
Chesterfield.
Right. Lord Chesterfield. A code of manners, a style of soul, from the kind of coat. Lord Chesterfield and Washington Lee, it's good to hear from you. Here's your 30-point musical bonus. You know, spring is here, and as you might have expected, tonight we have a question about spring. It's a musical question that features recordings of three popular melodies with the word spring in the title. Now, all you have to do is recognize the song and give us the complete title, and you'll get 10 points each time you do. Okay, first? Complete title.
Conference, Alan. All right, Fred Lachman.
Spring, beautiful spring.
No, boy, that was a wild one, and it wasn't near. It was spring. We'll be a little late this year, remember? Don't you remember?
No, he doesn't.
I shouldn't have sung it, should I? What's the spring of this one? Complete title.
Fred Lachman. That's Mendelssohn's spring song.
That's right for 10 points. Okay. What is the spring in this title?
Yes, we do. Harold Quinn.
All right.
That's younger than springtime.
That's right. That's younger than springtime. Okay, the score is now 30 for Washington Lee, 90 for University of Pittsburgh with 18 minutes to go. And here is the toss-up question. And listen very carefully. I'm going to read this slowly. It's a tough one. The first man's name is the same as the second man's middle name. The second man's middle name is the same as the third man's last name. The men are a former Secretary of State, a famous novelist, and a major general. For 10 points, what is the name? Washington and
Lee. Harold Quinn.
Dean.
Right, Dean. that out for us real fast. Could you tell who those men were?
The first one's Dean Acheson. The last one's Major General Dean.
Yeah. And you guessed
and
at the
Bob,
middle one.
Bob Paxton's giving you the last one. What is it?
William Dean Howell.
That's right. Together you got it. You got a 30-point bonus to Washington and Lee, and here it is. You know, this is about words again. Many words in the English language have been derived from the names of certain fictional and historical figures whose outstanding traits have given meaning to these words. For instance, if I gave the definition a comic misuse of a word, you'd remember Mrs. Malaprop in Sheridan's The Rivals and the word malapropism or malaprop. Now, similarly, in three instances, I'm going to define a word, and for 10 points each, you are to tell us the word I'm defining and the proper name from which it is derived. You understand that? You are to give us the word and the proper name, all right? First of all, for 10 points, a word that means, quote, conduct that is characterized by cunning and bad faith.
Conference on that, Alan.
Okay.
With Bobby, let's see. We have an answer here.
All right, quick.
Bobby Paxton.
Shylock.
No, I'm sorry. Machiavellian from Niccolo Machiavelli. All right? A word which refers to a person with idealistic but impractical schemes.
Conference, Alan.
Okay. Your time's going. Hurry.
Bobby Paxton.
Platonic?
Platonic. No, Bobby. Quixotic. Quixotic for Don Quixote, you know, the unrealistic character in a Cervantes novel. All right. Now, a word meaning, this is the toughest, a word meaning exaggerated patriotism.
Bobby Paxton.
Chauvinism.
Right, for 10 points. Chauvinism. All right, now, you know it, of course. Bobby, give me the proper name.
Bobby.
Proper name.
The proper name from which Chauvinism came.
Chauvin.
Yeah, right. Nicholas Chauvin. That was right. Okay. Score 50 to Washington Lee, 90 University of Pittsburgh. We have 15 and a half minutes to go, and here we go with the toss-up question. We're going to give you 10 points if you can quote the line of poetry that precedes the following. Bearded with moss and in garments green, indistinct in the twilight. Washington and Lee.
Al Quinn.
This is the forest primeval.
Yes, that's right. Hold it for you. I'll accept it, although that's not the complete line. I'm going to accept this is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlocks. Okay, we'll move along because that was acceptable. We had decided to accept the murmuring, the forest primeval. Okay, here we go with a 30-point bonus, Washington and Lee. The titles of novels are sometimes suggestive of other art forms. Now, I'm going to give you the art form, and you're to tell me the title of the 20th century novel that it suggests. An art form and a 20th century novel. You'll get 10 points with each novel you recognize. Here we go. First of all, a painting of a youth.
Harold Quinn.
Portrait of the artist as a young man.
Right, for 10 points. Now, here, the technical aspect of this music should suggest what 20th century novel? Century novel is suggested by the technical aspect of the music you've just heard. Take a chance, he says. Take a chance, but come on with the time.
Bobby, do you have an answer? We have no answer.
All right, the answer is point, counterpoint. That was counterpoint, of course, from Bach's Fugue for the well-tempered clavichord. We heard the counterpoint there. Okay. What novel title is suggested to you by this art form? A Scandinavian narrative poem.
A conference on that, Alan.
Okay.
We'll come up with one here.
Yeah, but you better hurry. Okay, time is called The Forsyth Saga. A Scandinavian narrative poem is a saga. Okay, 70 to 90. 90 for Pittsburgh, 70 for Washington Lee. 30 minutes ago, here's the toss-up. A state legislature recently reversed the convictions of Susanna Martin, Ann Pudiather, Bridget Washington and Lee.
Al Quinn.
Those were the women in the Salem witch trials.
All right. They were convicted of being witches. I'll accept it. You interrupted the question, but you got the right answer. I was going to say, of what were they originally convicted? All right. You got a 20-point bonus, Washington and Lee. In 1799, this is a single-part bonus, In 1799, a French engineer found a piece of black basalt called the Rosetta Stone, which provided the clue to a long-standing mystery. For 20 points, what was this mystery, Washington and Lee?
Hal Quinn.
The mystery concerned the fact that some Scandinavians had been on the North American continent long before
the Egyptian language.
The Egyptian language?
Hieroglyphics.
Right. I was waiting for hieroglyphics. Okay. The Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Hold it. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout.
Okay, we're pretty near a tie. We got 60 seconds here. We're going to talk to both teams, and it is our custom, of course, always to move out to the campus of the challenging team and find out about the team members. Tonight, we go out to Pittsburgh to meet the team members of the University of Pittsburgh. I want to find out from University of Pittsburgh's seniors. You're all seniors, aren't you? I'd like to find out now what you intend to do when you finish college. First of all, Albert Hilger, what are you going to do when you finish college?
I'd like to go to graduate school.
And then what?
Well, it depends on whether or not I get into a graduate school, what happens.
Oh, it does. You know, you're a Phi Beta Kappa, aren't you?
Yeah.
You'll get in, don't you think, really? Okay, Samuel Siegel, what are your plans after college?
I'd like to go to Harvard and then teach in college.
Good, you're going to be a teacher, huh, man?
Yes.
That's fine. Morton Coleman, what are your plans?
I intend to go to graduate school in political science.
In political science. Morton, I notice you're married, is that right?
That's correct.
Fine, a father?
Yes, sir.
How old?
4 months old.
A 4 month old baby boy.
That's
well,
it.
Congratulations. Eleanor Stone, what are your plans after college?
Well, this June I'm going to look for a job in some field of journalism, some aspect of it.
I see. You're going to be a journalist, huh?
I hope so.
Okay, fine. Well, that's the University of Pittsburgh's team. Now let's move way down south to Lexington, Virginia, and talk to the boys down there. Henry Turner, haven't heard from you for a while. What's new in the Washington Lee campus this week, Henry?
Well, Alan, we've been pretty disappointed down here this week about the news we've been getting about the college quiz bowl.
Oh, you mean the end of our season, huh?
That's right. We just heard about it, and in view of the reception the College Quiz Bowl has been getting down here in this part of the country, we think it's a very good program, and we think it should either stay on the air or at least come back next year.
Well, I hope, we certainly hope to. I certainly think the reaction we've had from your part of the country has been very enthusiastic, Henry, and we appreciate it.
Well, we want to urge people to write to NBC in New York and tell them if they've been listening to the College Quiz Bowl and how they like it, because we'd like to see it come back next year.
Well, we hope to be back, and we certainly hope we have wonderful schools like we've had this year. It's been a great thing, and I think I appreciate your saying that, Henry. Okay, our time is just about up now, so let's get back to the quiz.
All right, Alan, the time is 10 minutes. Washington and Lee University has a score of 100, and the University of Pittsburgh, 90.
All right, here we go.
I've got another toss-up question.
Okay, here we go with a toss-up question, and coming up is a 40-point bonus. I'm going to call these bonuses now with this bonus. In Guatemala, it's Guillermo Torriello. For 10 points, who holds the same office in Great Britain? Washington and Lee.
Henry Turner.
Anthony Eden.
Right. For 10 points. Anthony Eden is the foreign minister in Great Britain, and Torriello is the Guatemalan foreign minister. Okay, Washington Lee, here's your 40-point bonus. You know, I'm going to give you now the name of a fictional locality, and for 10 points each, you're to tell us the author who created it. Now, hold on your hats. If I can pronounce this first one right, we're in. Yoconapatawpah County. Why?
Bobby Paxton.
William Faulkner.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Did you recognize that from my pronunciation? Okay, that's right. William Faulkner. That's the county he created. Okay, who created Altamont, North Carolina?
Henry Turner.
Thomas Wolfe.
Right. Thomas Wolfe in, you know the book, Henry?
You Can't Go Home Again.
Well, look, Homeward Angel, too. Okay. A town named Zenith. A town named Zenith. For 10 points. Who created it?
Hal Quinn.
Sinclair Lewis.
Right, for 10 points. Now you'll get the whole 40 points if you can tell us who created the International Sanatorium in Berghof, Switzerland.
Bobby Paxton.
Thomas Mann.
Right, Thomas Mann. In the magic... Okay, coming up next is a 30-point musical bonus. The score is 150 for Washington Lee, 90 for University of Pittsburgh, 8 minutes to go. Here we go with a toss-up. 10 points. Is insulin animal, vegetable, or mineral? Washington and Lee.
Hal Quinn.
It's Quinn. Animal.
Right, for 10 points. Animal. Boy, you pulled that out of a hat, huh? Animal, yes, commercial insulin is used as a treatment for diabetes is made of the pancreas of sheep or oxen. Okay, here's your musical bonus, Washington Lee. Many musical, familiar musical themes have originally come from symphonies, as we all know. For instance, this one. That's a for instance.
Bobby Paxton.
Oh, I know that. That's an illustration, Bobby. I hope you were going to say that familiar theme was the first movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Now you can go to work. For 10 points each, I want you to tell us a symphony from which each of the following themes is taken. Do you know that symphony?
Yes, we have that one. Right.
Okay, hurry.
Henry Turner.
Yes.
All right, Henry.
Brahms' First Symphony.
That's right, Brahms' Symphony Number 1, the fourth movement. That's right, Brahms' First. All right, now do you recognize the symphony by this familiar theme?
All right, Harold Quinn.
Okay.
Tchaikovsky's Sixth, First Movement.
That's right, Tchaikovsky's Sixth. First Movement, boy, you're in. What do they usually call that symphony, Harold?
Pathetique.
That's right. Okay, are we ready for the next one? Okay, what symphony is this?
Bobby Paxton.
Haydn's Clock Symphony. I can't remember the number.
Right, for 10 points. Haydn's Clock Symphony. Okay, the score is 190, Washington Lee. University of Pittsburgh, you got 90, and you got 6 minutes to go. Here's the toss-up. Coming up is a 30-point, three-part bonus. The song says, "It's a long way to Tipperary." For 10 points, where's Tipperary? Washington and Lee.
Fred Lockman, Ireland.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, Washington, here's your bonus. If someone says, "Knock, knock, who's there?" he might not be commencing a trite joke, but merely showing his erudition by quoting Shakespeare. You see, that's from Hamlet. Many of our slang expressions were actually first used or invented by famous authors. Now, you're going to get 10 points for each author that you can match with the following phrases. Washington Lee, if a housewife complains of cramped modern apartments and says, "There isn't room to swing a cat," who would she be quoting? There isn't room.
Conference on that, Alan. Okay. I think we'll have the answer.
All right. Let's get some time, boy.
Okay, here we go.
Do you know that?
No, we don't.
Charles Dickens and David Copperfield. There isn't room to swing a cat. It's Charles Dickens. All right. If you can't make head or tails of what your professor is teaching and you complain, "It's all Greek to me," whom are you quoting?
Conference on that, Alan.
What author?
Okay. Harold Quinn.
Shakespeare.
Right. Shakespeare. William Shakespeare and Julius Caesar. Well, I won't ask you if you really knew that. Okay, if you said, tell that to the Marines, you'd be implying, shall we say, strong skepticism. But whom would you be quoting?
Conference, Alan, on that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Harold Quinn.
Teddy Roosevelt.
No. Sir Walter Scott first said, "Tell that to Marines and Red Gauntlet." Okay, we're going back to a toss-up and coming up with a 30-point bonus. 10 points if you can tell us, why have the Hartford, the Constellation, the Oregon, and the Olympia been in the news recently? Washington Lee.
All right, Henry Turner.
They're all ships from the War of 1812, which the Navy is trying to decide whether to salvage or to junk.
Okay, that is that decision. Navy wants to scrap them. The patriotic groups have protested. They are going to save, of course, the Constitution or Old Ironsides. Okay, you got that one, and here's a 30-point bonus for you, Washington and Lee. You know, although there are four men down there, just all men in Washington Lee, we're going to ask you now a question about women's apparel. I'm going to describe 3 articles of clothing, and you're supposed to be able to get it. Of course, you'll be very honorable if you don't, I guess. For 10 points apiece, you are to name them. Okay, first of all, a kind of rounded collar named after the hero of a 1904 play.
Conference on that, Alan.
Not too much time.
Okay, boy.
Here we go. Time is called Peter Pan. after the Barry play hero. That's a rounded collar, boys. You should have known that, of course. An article of clothing designed and named after a famous suffragette. Designed...
Conference on that, Alan.
Okay.
All right.
Hurry. Time is called. Bloomers. After Amelia Jenkins Bloomers. Did you push a button, Joe?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right, here we go. 10 points. If you can tell us a life-saving jacket named after an American movie actor.
Yes, Harold Quinn.
May West.
That you should know. Okay, here we go with a toss-up question. 20-point bonus coming up for 10 points. What word meaning implement when spelled backwards means plunder? Washington Lee.
Fred Lockman.
Tool.
Right. Spelled backwards. Okay, boy, here's your 20-point bonus. During the 1880s, a salesman named John Warren Betamillion Gates operated in Texas. His product caused trouble for horse thieves and cattle rustlers. You'll get 20 points now if you can tell us what John Warren Gates sold.
Harold Quinn.
Okay, Harold.
All right, Henry Turner.
The Colt pistol.
Oh, no. Anybody going to correct him?
Yes.
Johnny Appleseed.
John, John Warren Betamillion Gates sold barbed wire fence. Fabled Betamillion actually introduced fencing into Texas. Okay. Here we go with a toss-up question. Among other things, it's called Walrussia, Polar Bear Garden, and the National Icebox. For 10 points, what is it? Washington and Lee.
Fred Lockman, Alaska.
Right, for 10 points. There's a 20-point bonus. 1 minute to go. For 20 points, tell us the name of the artist who painted such famous female subjects as the reclining nude, the washerwoman, woman with cards, and Gabrielle with a rose.
Conference on that, Alan.
Name of the artist. Time is going.
We have the answer.
Right.
Bobby Paxton or Harold. Which is it? All right, Bobby.
Toulouse-Lautrec.
Nope, I'm sorry. Can you quick correct it?
Cezanne.
No, Renoir. Renoir, the French artist. Okay, here we go with the toss-up question for 10 points. If you were to travel from the Pine Tree State to the Hoosier State, in what? Pittsburgh.
North. And that's Sam Siegel.
Oh, Sam, I'm sorry. I'll finish it. You interrupted, penalizing 5 points for Washington Lee. I'll finish it. In what precise direction would you go if you were traveling from the Pine Tree State to the Hoosier State?
All right.
Let's hear
you. Fred Lockman, Southwest.
Right, for 10 points. Southwest. Maine is the Pine Tree State, and Indiana is the Hoosier State. That was a good try, Pitt. Okay, here we go. You got a 30-point bonus, Washington Lee. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, one of Ophelia's lines reads, "Hey, nonny, 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 hey, nonny." Now, we're going to give you 30 points if you can identify another Shakespearean play which has a similar line with a hey and a ho and a hey, nonny, no.
And that's it. Time's up. Sorry, Alan, but the game's over for this week. The final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 85 points for the University of Pittsburgh and 260 points for the winner, Washington and Lee University. And to each member of the Pitt team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnar wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnar family of fine watches since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. And for fielding the winning team tonight, Washington and Lee University will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the university. And these varsity scholars from Washington and Lee will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
All right, I want to congratulate the University of Washington, Lee University. You four men did a great job, and I want to say to you fine people from the University of Pittsburgh, it was wonderful having with you and having you with us. And you were great. Albert Hilger, Samuel Siegel, Martin Coleman, and Eleanor Stone. It was wonderful. Now, I want to tell you that next week, Washington Lee meets Pittsburgh. Washington Lee meets Syracuse, and the following week, we'll have varsity scholars from the University of Colorado in Boulder, Colorado. So be with us next week and the following week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying, so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were, for the University of Pittsburgh, Jim Westover of station KDKA in Pittsburgh. And for Washington and Lee University, Joe Moffat of station WSLS, Roanoke. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed.
Toscanini conducts the NBC Symphony next on the NBC Radio Network.